Faith Words, Part 2. This is the second part of what we started last week as well, and in our series, Exemplifying Faith. And then you don't exemplify faith if you don't know, understand confession and words, the power of words. It's hard to understand faith without the understanding confession and words. And that's why we, during this series, passed out, you know, new confessions. We send out emails about using your words. I believe it was yesterday or the day before, we talked about your words being a start button. So how do you start your day? You know, think about it. If you start your day, before we get into the scripture, mumble, 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 grumble, 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 you just hit a start button for things negative to start to work. But do you get up and push the start button for godly things and good things from God to go to work? Everything gets done by speaking. The start button is in your control. You can choose to start it or just leave it on pause or neutral and don't get anything anyway. But faith-filled words start good things and set in motion good things in your life. That's why you can't get up in the morning and just be grumble, 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 mumble, 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 complaining stops. It's like the stop button of your progress. It's the stop button of your progress. So faith-filled words is like the start button to your promise, to the provision, to the protection, to the peace. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for faith words. So when you wake up, no matter how early you get up, if you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, or 2 o'clock in the morning, or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, the Lord has words for you to speak. The Holy Spirit has never napped off and said, "Oh, you're up. Let's get it together." The Holy Spirit always has it together. Now let's look at what Jesus said here. Let's look at this. Matthew 12, 33, 37, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury or the deposit of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Your words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at another scripture where Jesus said some things, profound things. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. In teaching the principles of the law of faith, Jesus says to us that we will have what we say. So we say it this way, and I just repeat it from Kenneth Hagin when he was alive. Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you've been saying. Because Jesus is basically telling us this through Mark 11:23. Not Matthew 11:23, guys. In Mark 11:23, he's saying you have what you say. Most people are saying what they have, so they keep having what they have. How about we start having what we say? Now, I want that to soak in a little bit. Because as a choice is yours. Your faith will never rise above your confession. So if you're not saying it, are you listening to me? You're never going to have it. If you're not saying it, not it doesn't depend on me saying it. Because Jesus didn't say you have what I say. He said you have what you say. So when you begin to say you're on your way to having that thing that's in your heart. Because Jesus said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. So it's not come what may, it's come what we say. Perhaps you've been only saying what you have, but not having what you say. In other words, just don't say what you see, say what you want to see. What do you want to see happening based on God's word and his promises in your body? Because his promises and his word is not limited or restricted by what's going on in your body. And so you got to say when you're not even well, when you're not even functional in a particular area of your body, you got to say to it, you got to talk to it. Amen. You got to talk to that liver, talk to those lungs, talk to those kidneys. Talk to your heart. So if we recorded you all last week, would we find you talking to your body? Would there be a clip? You know how they put those little clips on Facebook or YouTube or the shorts video? Would there be a short video that is recorded in heaven of you talking to your body? You talking to your brain? You talking to your emotions? Come on now. You talking about your marriage, your relationships? Because you have what you. And you're not just supposed to say what you see or have or feel if it's not in line with the perfect will of God. So would there be a recording that we can put up on the heavenly YouTube channel of you talking about your relationships? Those over you in the Lord. Your peers, your family members, siblings, whatever, or your proteges. I always say pastor, peers, and proteges. That's the three dimensions. Those over you, those around you, those under you. What'd you say? What'd you say? Well, pastor, I didn't say anything. Well, what do you get? Nothing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So don't just say what you see. Say what you want to see. Faith words. We must learn and act on the secret of words, faith-filled words. Because faithful words, we said, will absolutely dominate and obliterate the laws of sin and death. Because sin and death is what corrupts and disrupts and destroys everything. It destroys your health, your wealth, your relationships. You see all kinds of things happening in your family. You see all kinds of things happening on your job. But you and I are not just supposed to stand around and be spectators. We're supposed to be salt and light. And one of those ways is that we get faith-filled words out of our lips and into the atmosphere of the reality of our lives, and we speak to our circumstances. We speak to the mountain. We speak to the giant. Now look at the law of words, some scriptures about law of words. Job 6:25. How forcible are the right words is the first part of that. How forcible are the right words? And what does your arguing reprove? Nothing. The right words get the right results. And so we said it last week or week before that, you know, babies don't know how to talk. Same thing for spiritual babies. When your faith is not growing, you don't know how to talk. You don't know how to talk back to the devil. You don't know how to talk to that mountain and talk to your problems. We learned real good how to talk about and whine and cry over our problems, our pain. But I'm telling you, we got to start getting back to faith words. Talking to the mountain, talking to the problem, telling it to leave. Taking the word of God and running that disease out of our body through our mouths. How forcible are the right words? They're very forcible. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, 4, King James Bible says, the word of the king, where the word of the king is, there is power. In other words, you and I have been made, according to Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6, and Revelation chapter 5. It tells us that he's made us kings and priests. 1 Peter 2:9 says we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In other words, we take a kingly position in Christ. He is the King of kings. That's us. Everybody say, that's me. So the word of a king is power. But some of us haven't put the crown on in a while. We haven't taken our kingly position in Christ, our position of authority, to rule and reign in this life in Christ. And then from that position of victory, we release our authority that we have in him and reinforce his victory. So we tell that disease, get out of the house, get out of my body. We tell the devil getting into mess around our house or around our family and relationship. We tell him, drive him out. You're the king. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18. We're going to read verse 7, and then we're going to jump down to verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, verse 7. It says this in the New Living Translation. The mouth of the fools are their ruin. For they trap themselves with their lips. Faith words. But these are foolish words. The mouth of who? Fools. Faith words are different from foolish words. Foolish words are what we call like loose lips. They sink ships. You just say whatever comes to your thought in your mind. And our little pea brains, well, you say whatever comes to your pea brain. And you talk like out of the side of your neck or like you're vomiting or spitting out vitriol or venom, like a snake venom. We're just saying whatever comes to mind. That's foolish talk. But it will trap you and it will ruin you. I'm not getting too many amens. All right. Look at verse 20, verse 21, 20 and 21. Probably wise words satisfied like a good meal. Man, we had some good food, didn't we, yesterday, brothers? It was good food. I didn't hardly want to eat dinner. I said I couldn't eat any more meat because there was some beef there. There was some beef and chicken there. So it was good stuff. Wise words satisfy like a good meal, but the right words bring satisfaction. What kind of words? Right words and wise words. So, that's where we find dissatisfied, disgruntled Christians. How do I know people are dissatisfied or disgruntled? They complain, they criticize, and they condemn. I call them Christian curmudgeons. They always got something that they're mumbling, grumbling, and murmuring about. When our Bible, my Bible, your Bible, Philippians says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. We're supposed to go to work without murmuring. We're supposed to work at work without complaining. And I like how Nancy Dufresne says it. She said, the reason they remain in the wilderness, 2,900,000 plus Christians, estimated 3 million. Only two made it out, Joshua K., because of their words. And the main content of their words was they complained all the time. They complained their time. And they were close to the promise, proximity to the promise, but they complained. And so they remained in the wilderness. Complaints stop your progress, ladies and gentlemen. We have to learn to get rid of every complaint. So I got checked for that because I can't complain about my car. I can't complain about my how hot it is. How many of you have had discussions about the heat? And how many said bad words or thought bad things because the air conditioner wasn't low enough? How many complained about the meal? I didn't like that for dinner. I didn't like that for dinner. How many complained about the boss? About the extra project they put on you? About coming in an extra day or working an extra hour or after your time? Complain about your body, the pain, the symptoms. Stops your progress, just like it did back then. We said, you know, Kate McVeigh always said this, I always carried it with me. When you complain, you remain. But if you praise, you'll be raised. So you need wise words, and you need right words to come out of your mouth. Those are faith words. Listen to this. The tongue can bring death or life, verse 21, but those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, all of us should love to talk, but talk with right words and wise words, and not just run off at the mouth. And the image I always get is like someone having diarrhea or dysentery of the lips. When you just run off at the mouth, that's not wise and that's not right. You have to be intentional with your speech, disciplined in your speech. Intentional because you won't need to speak over this week coming up. And next month, September coming up. You need to be intentional. What words are you releasing? What words, based on the law of words, are you setting in motion? Because the tongue holds the power of what? Life and death. Look at verse 21 again. Life and death, what it says, the tongue can bring life. That means I could be killing stuff, killing my progress, killing my prosperity, killing my peace, killing the protection on my family and my finances and my house. I could be killing it. And killing it is a slang word today. But Satan's a legalist. He's going to take the original definition of killing and use it against you. Oh, man, I'm preaching real good today. But see, you love to talk, well, reap his consequences. So you got to watch when you say, I hate this. Or this is killing me. My feet are killing me. Nobody should be complaining about that because you're sitting down. Right? My back is killing me. Oh, man, you're killing me with that. Is this good? This okay? Everybody looking at me? Okay. See, God gave us the ability to speak, to communicate, to text, to tweet, to update our status, and to hashtag. And he said, this is a law that's going to impact your life every single today? What are you doing? What are you planning to say and do tomorrow? When you text, when you tweet, when you hashtag, when you update your status, when you speak, when you communicate. Are your words going to lift people? Or are they going to bring them down? What are the words coming out of your mouth? But because it's a daily occurrence, we tend to overlook. We tend to overlook the fact that words are the basis for biblical law. We don't think we get in trouble because nobody's coming to arrest you at your house, and the FBI is not breaking down your door and says, you know, they're rushing in, throwing that little, what that thing that blasts and make that loud noise? A blaster? Is it called blast? Flashbang. The flashbang come in, bang. And they're coming in, deep, deep, putting a light on the scope on your head, and say, come, we want to, you've broken the biblical crime law of words as a Christian. Come to jail. See, nobody's going to do that to you. But I guarantee you, you are reaping the consequences for violating the law of words. Because when you're not happy, which, sometimes it's a little hard to find Christians very happy after they've been going through stuff. When you're not happy what you have, it's a product that you need to check out what you've been saying. Because Jesus said you have what you say. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible? You know, we might have other issues. But what does the Bible say? I like how the Amplified said, she kept on saying, if I may touch but his garment, I will be made whole. So she pressed through her pain. She spent 12 years going to the doctor and never getting better. She spent 12 years losing her money on different physicians. She still went 12 years in pain. But she heard Jesus and got in faith, and her faith moved her feet and her mouth and set spiritual law into motion and said, if I may touch but his garment, I shall be whole. And she kept on saying it. And she kept on saying it. Even when she wasn't supposed to come out in public, even when she wasn't supposed to be pressing through people to reach out, everybody's touching Jesus and tapping on him, thronging him, the Bible says. But she touched him with faith, and she felt. Her faith gave action to the power of God. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Why? She was putting faith words out there. 12 years of death, disease, and dysfunction with her blood. One touch of faith activated by her words and her actions. She became every whit whole. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? Disciples said, everybody's touching you. And I would say that today. A lot of people are trying to touch Jesus. They're trying to feel their way to a miracle. Feel their way into a blessing or a breakthrough. Feel their way into the promise coming to pass. You're not going to feel it first. He turned around and said, daughter, after she told him all everything that happened, daughter, thy faith. Whose faith? Now, was that power just zapped on her at that moment? Power's always there. She got what she possessed what she confessed. She said what she wanted to see. She'd been seeing blood 12 years, bloody issues. Come on, somebody getting this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because this law is going to impact your life every single day. I don't want you to forget that. And so when you come to me, or if you ask your friend and they ask you, what have you been saying? And you have nothing to say? Or you've been just saying what you've been feeling and seeing? You don't have faith words. You have fact words. You have feeling words. You have figure words. But you don't have faith words. I'm encouraging you to this morning for the rest of this year to get real big on your faith words. Get real better on your faith words. What does the law of words consist of? Listen to this. One, to release power. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Two, to create, cause, and control things. In essence, James says, any man who can control his tongue can control his whole life. Weight loss, where's the control switch? Where's the start button? If I got to lose weight, where do I start? Where do I push the start button? In your tongue, in your mouth. Words. Got to change my words. If I'm going to improve my health and my fitness, where do I start? Where's the start button? And you think of simple like your health. You may be taking a prescription or maybe a couple of prescriptions from the doctor, several. What do you say when you put that pill in your mouth and swig it with water? Do you say nothing? Or do you go really negative and complain, I'm tired of taking these big pills, these nasty pills? And they're just going to keep getting more nastier and bigger till you're going to be choking on them in a few years. Trying to get them down. Come on, it just is practical but powerful like that. When you put that pill in, the doctor's just helping you manage the symptoms or manage that sickness until your faith kicks in. Because the healer should always be in your house. So what do you say? From Tylenol to the worst heavy dose prescription. I thank you, Lord, that you're the Lord who heals me. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24, according to the word of God, I am healed. As I take this medicine, the healing power of God is released into me. Praise God. Because James said, it's the any man who controls his tongue can control his whole life. You have different aspects in different areas of your life. Your health, your wealth, your emotional well-being, your mental well-being, your mind, your memory, your capacity to absorb truth and distinguish between and discern between good and evil, right and wrong. That's why we pray on Sunday nights that you grow in not only spiritual devotion, that means your heart gets bigger and better for God, but we also pray that you grow in spiritual discernment, that you learn right from wrong much better. Don't think because I'm umpty-ump years old, I know right from wrong, because the devil's a deceiver. He's been around thousands of years, eons of years before us. He knows how to trick us up just by coming in and whispering to us. But you got to grow in spiritual discernment. Right and wrong, righteousness versus unrighteousness, truth versus falsities or lies. You got to grow in spiritual discernment. So you got to speak that I grow in spiritual discernment. I know how to gravitate and connect to the right people and disconnect and distance myself from the wrong people, because the greatest distraction and deception that the devil brings in our lives is poor relationships, because most relationships will take you down. They don't increase you, they decrease you. They don't cause you progress, they cause you to digress, not evolve. That means come forward, get more enlightened in God. You devolved and going back to, as Romans says, worshiping creation, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. How do you do that? With your tongue. But what if you don't say anything? You lose by what? If you don't say, I grow in spiritual discernment. I know what people to connect to and commit to, and you learn disconnect from and distance myself from. Because poor relationships will take you down or get you stuck. Because they always it's like crabs in a bucket. They pull you back down. From spirituality to carnality. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I won't charge you guys for that extra little exhortation there. Hallelujah. Number three. Because, see, the tongue has the power to direct, destroy, and delight. But there's no inconsequential words. We just read it in Matthew 12. Jesus communicated that the great importance of the power of the words in Matthew. He also conveyed the concept and the principle of the heart and mouth connection. How can I know where I'm at? Check out the words that are coming out of your mouth. That's your locator. That's your spiritual, what we call it, your godly positioning system. If you're speaking this way, that's where your heart is at. So M, if we're going back to school, equals H plus A. What's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart in abundance. M equals H plus A. So in other words, the deposit of the words in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth and into your life. So you can't afford to be around and hear and consume a bunch of wrong words, a bunch of fear words, a bunch of flesh words, a bunch of doubt words, a bunch of unbelief words. You got to fill your heart with faith-filled words so that what comes out of your mouth is faith-filled, not fearful. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Come on, lift your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we talked about the mark number five. What's another power of the law of words? Number five, life can become better or bitter by the words of your lips and mouth. Life can become better or bitter by the words of your lips and mouth. Number six, when we can sin and miss the mark with our tongue and wrong words released from our mouth. You write this reference down, Psalms 39, verse 1. It says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will grab my mouth as a bridle while the wicked are before me. I will keep my tongue with a bridle while the wicked is for me. You got to know, when you're around bad people, they talk bad. When you're around people that doubt, fear, and unbelief, they're going to try to pull you down to their level by getting you to talk at that level of doubt, fear, and unbelief. So you got to pray that Psalms 39 prayer, particularly if you're going into a family situation that not everybody loves Jesus, not everybody's serving God, not everybody understands that walking by faith and talking by faith, and you got to have mouth control. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me control my tongue. And don't be in that circle and get offended and get what we call your backside hurt. And then you just swallow your tongue. You got to get those words out of your mouth. Because when they speak, they're not maybe not speaking to you just in their own natural mind or natural flesh. They may be speaking words inspired by demons. And what are they doing? They're releasing fear words or releasing bad words into your ears to affect you like they did when you were a little girl or a little child. Or a young adult, and you fray all up like a cat and get angry because of what they said. Am I helping anybody this morning? And you get frustrated, you step out of love. And, you know, faith doesn't work outside of love. You step off the love line, you get offended, or you get bitter, or you get unforgiveness in your heart. And you say, I'm not going to speak to them for three days or 3 weeks or 3 months because of what they said to me. That's when we get into sin. And when you sin, you let the devil get in. Can y'all put that scripture up, please, guys? And I'm going to stop on this first page here. I know we're running out of time. Psalms 39:1. Let's get to that one. We'll pick up here the next week. But Psalms 39, verse 1. And just go down to verse 4, I think. Psalms 39, 1. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with what? Did you know you can sin with your tongue? Now, think of sin in two components or two divisions. Commission, omission. Commission means I said something that's not right, righteous, or something that was wrong. I had loose lips. I will retain my mouth with a muzzle. You need a Holy Spirit muzzle at times to go through the landmine and the battlefield of life. Because if you don't know how to speak and you point that bazooka down at your leg, you blowing your leg off. You putting a hole in your boat. Come on now, y'all here with me? He said, while the wicked are before me. Now, wicked can be wicked and unwitting people, but wicked can be devils, demons. What are they doing? They're perched by you because they don't sleep either. They've been assigned to you. They don't have any power or permission unless you give it to them. You give it to them by the legal contract you make with your words. I start lying, cussing. That's not right words, right? That's commission. How forcible are right words? Wrong words operate in the negative sentence, the force. All right, keep going. Verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. So you got to pray that prayer. Particularly, you go on in a room or a meeting, those of us at work, with people who are proud, people who are petty, people who are selfish. I'm just saying category. I'm not thinking of anybody, but you go in people that are really, maybe they're self-centered or the new word they use is people, narcissistic type of people. He said, I was moved with silence. I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred up, because sometimes that's what happened, right? You're closing your mouth. My heart was hot within me, and I was musing. While I was musing, the fire burned, and I spoke with my tongue. Verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end. Now, that has a present reference and an eternal reference. I'll talk about that in just a second. Just keep that scripture. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Now, for those of you that have challenges keeping your mouth shut when you should and knowing how to talk the right words when you should, you got to be praying these four verses. Now, what it says, make me to know my end. So how much time do I have here? Could be in a meeting. Could be in a job. And then the eternal reference is, how much time do I have on the earth? Another reference says, how many days I have left. Now, every one of us, and we got our dear brother celebrating birthday this afternoon, But these prayers should be prayed, right? Particularly at birthdays. Lord, how much time I got left? How many days? If I'm working in a position or a job, how many days? Because God didn't have you at that job for no reason or just for the fun of it. You have a divine purpose on that job. As a Christian, you should have a divine purpose for being on that job. And there's words you're supposed to release, not fear words, not doubt words. Because Jesus said every idle word you speak, you have to give an account for. If I'm on that job and I'm supposed to be salt and light and release faith into the atmosphere, because if not, that job and all those people go to hell in a handbasket. You're there supposed to salt that little nasty, smelly pig of a job. Preserve it. Lord, you want all these people saved, even the ones that are very difficult right here. Even the ones that are different than me. Releasing faith words over your boss, over your boss's boss, over your coworkers. Because if you're not in faith, you're in sin. Because fear is sin and it lets the devil in. Oh my goodness. How much time do I have left? How much time do I have left, dear Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's the number of my days? God doesn't want you to be clueless or witless or foolish. You got to be intentional. There was a guy that I'm closing with these couple of thoughts. There was a guy who, because life and death reside in our tongue. There's a guy who was a brother-in-law of a, he was a brother-in-law of or a relative, excuse me, of a famous minister, and he went and drove and tried to get to him. He was in hospital in the ICU, and I always think about this when I go to the hospital. And he went to go lay hands on him. Pray for him. And the Holy Spirit told him no. So Brother Hagin at the time could have done this, been disobedient, and says, well, I'm just going to violate spiritual law. But this is what we're talking about, word law of words. He went to lay hands on. He said, you can't lay hands on. No. It's happened to Brother Copeland, too. I heard him say the same thing. He gone to quick, don't put your hands on. Because they said this. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set in motion. Because life and death is in power. And they cannot be reversed at this time. Can't pray for his healing. He's a brother. Brother in Christ. Got to pray for his homegoing now. Homegoing is not termination, it's transition. Are you listening to me? But we can set laws in motion and shorten our days or extend our time and our days. Oh, this is good stuff this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, I'll pick it up next week because I'll leave it with the story here now. I remember Nancy Dufresne was telling about she was repenting before the Lord. And sometimes I've had to do it many a times. I'm just telling you with both hands up. I've had to do it because I've said some things and spoken some things that either through ignorance or immaturity or just being insolent, being angry or insubordinate to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I've said some things. Because it's not right just to say whatever you comes to your head. It's not right to just say whatever you feel. Right? What you speak over your children is important. What you speak over your parents or siblings is important. What you speak over your finances is important. Don't run your money out through your mouth. We never have enough. So, yours truly, I lift both hands and say, you can make many of the mistakes, have to repent. You got to repent quickly, though. Don't just, I don't care. I'm saying it anyway. That's not the will of God. That's not God's best. So she tells the story just like what happened, similar to what happened to me. I had to repent over failed, and main thing, you fail with this. You crash and burn with this. And so she tells the story. She was doing it. She's repent, failed, and she picks up a book by Brother Hagin and begins to study it after she's repented. And because you got to keep your repentance close. And she said, I just felt impressed to get on my knees. She says, I got on my knees. And as soon as she got on her knees, Jesus walked in. And he didn't disagree with her. He said, you failed in many areas, many times. And she said, yes, Jesus, I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad I brought it up to you first. So the correction wasn't harsh. He said, but I'm going to give you the way to my success. Because he said, I've never failed. And we're going to explore that next week a little bit more. Because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. In other words, what we say. Many of us need to go back into the training. Just like people going back to school. Students, high school, middle school, elementary, whatever, college. I suggest we go back to school, faith school, learn how to talk, learn how to speak to our mountain, learn how to operate the law of confession. Will you do it this fall? Just act like I'm in the school of the Spirit. And he's going to take me through the word and teach me how to use my tongue right and speak the right words. Amen? Praise God. You would just stand with me, please? And we're going to pick up the secret to that success next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We bless.